The Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher, Pastor Thomas Bruchet.
Hello, I'm Pastor Tom Bruchet, and I'm glad to be with you today by television set and have an opportunity to share with you some things from God's Word. Boy, we live in exciting times. I'm not sure when you're going to be viewing this program, but it was just yesterday and today that you hear all kinds of talk going on in the Middle East about signing peace treaties. And peace is a wonderful thing. It's something that we all hope would come. And I don't want to be a pessimist, and I'm not always optimistic about what's going on, but I do feel I'm a realist. And I'm a realist to this point that the Bible is the one that speaks about peace, tells us when there will be peace and who is the Prince of Peace, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, it's Peter who indicts the nation of Israel in Acts chapter 3 and tells them that they've killed the Prince of Life. And he is not only the Prince of Life, but Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 calls him the Prince of Peace. And there is no peace without the Lord Jesus Christ, no real peace. And I want to share with you some things with all that's being talked about. I want to share with you what the Bible says about peace, when it'll come, and when there'll be an offer of peace that really is a false peace. And it'll be important for you to know what the Bible says about these things, and so we'll take the time today to share them with you. I'm going to read to you, first of all, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're told about a time that we who believe on Christ are looking forward to. It's called our hope in the Bible. But I'm going to also continue to read into 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in which in this chapter it's going to tell us what's going to take place after this hope that we're waiting for is over, and it might sound very familiar to you. So you listen as I read. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "But I would not that you should be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent," an old English word which means precede, "them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." I read these verses because there's a blessed hope waiting for those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for us, the one who rose again, the one who is offering us eternal life through his work on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection. The answer for our sin problem before God is to realize that Jesus Christ died at Calvary to pay for our sins. But the author here, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, goes on to say, "But of the times and seasons." And that is the times that are going to come upon this earth and the seasons that are going to they're going to follow. He says, you don't have any need that I write unto you. And then he begins to tell them why there's no need for him to write unto them. There's some things that they know. And it says, you know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, the day of the Lord speaks about a day in which God is going to judge this world. It's all written throughout all prophecy. When you read about the day of the Lord, you read there about a time in which God is going to have his day, a time in which he is going to judge this world. And that time is called the day of the Lord. And that's why it says, you know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And that thief in the night speaks about how a thief will come unexpected, will come real suddenly, will come at a time when not people aren't expecting it. And then that's when God is going to begin his judgment upon this world, pouring out a time of wrath. It's called a time of vengeance of our God. It's a time of darkness, as these verses go on to tell us. But that times of season, they're not going to need to know about, because they already know about it, that God is going to judge this world someday, and he's going to come as a thief in the night. And when is it going to come? Verse 3, for when they shall say, peace and safety. When the men of this world who have not believed on Jesus Christ, have not looked to him for real peace, for lasting peace, for everlasting life, when they think in all of their human efforts and all of their treaties that they get together and all the tables that they sit around and talk peace at, when they sit back and say, finally we've done it, peace and safety, that's when the Bible said the day of the Lord is going to begin. That's when the Bible says that the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night, and there's going to be a time of vengeance upon this earth by God. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now what we're talking about here is a time of Bible prophecy. They've all the prophets of the Old Testament talked about this day of time in which God is going to judge the world. And one of the places that begin to give us an indication of when these things are going to take place is the book of Daniel. I want you to go back with me, if you have a Bible, to the book of Daniel, chapter 9. And not only do I want you to go to Daniel chapter 9, but you probably should get a pen and paper out, because we just don't have the opportunity here to put up a chalkboard and show you some mathematics that come out of Daniel chapter 9. But I'm going to explain it to you, and you're going to have to search the scripture to see if these things are so. And I'm going to show you some Bible prophecy. Now, when I say I'm going to show you Bible prophecy, I'm not going to be one that's going to try to point out to you when the world, end of the world is going to come. Nor am I saying, because they're signing treaties in the Middle East today of saying peace and safety, that this is the end of the world. I'm not saying that. The reason I'm not saying that is we don't live in the days of Bible prophecy. But the days of Bible prophecy center all around people talking peace in the Middle East. And it's just very interesting that those things are going on today. There's no signs for us to follow, and we're not looking to those things as being trying to pinpoint those times, because those times belong to the times in which God is dealing with the nation of Israel, and that's what Daniel chapter 9 is about. Daniel chapter 9 gave a timetable to the nation of Israel to know how God is going to be dealing with them. And Daniel is written at a time in which Israel is fallen under judgment, and they went into captivity unto Babylon, and God promised that there'd be a day that he would restore them, but it would be a day that he would restore them after some judgment. And in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel, a prophet, receives some information, and it says this in Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, that's the nation of Israel, and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Daniel is given a time frame here that in 70 years that God is going to, or excuse me, 70 weeks of time, that God is going to finish all of his dealings with the nation of Israel and finally put away their sin and bring in lasting peace, to bring in reconciliation, to put an end to Bible prophecy, the things that the prophets have spoken about, and then to anoint the most holy, and that is to anoint Jesus Christ as king of the nation of Israel. The term Christ means anointed one, and Jesus Christ is God's anointed one. He is Israel's prophet, priest, and finally king. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, and when God has fulfilled his purposes and his program and his prophecy for the nation of Israel, The last thing is Jesus Christ is anointed king of the nation of Israel. And so God said to Daniel that he was going to accomplish that in 70 weeks. Now here's where you need to take some notes and you need to do some Bible study. Because a little Bible study, you'll find out that the word weeks is a word that means a period of seven. It could be like in our, we normally call a week 7 days. But the Bible just says it means a period of seven, a time period of seven, and it can be 7 years rather than 7 days. And you find it so in Genesis chapter 29 and in verse 27, where it says there that Jacob worked for Laban so he could marry Laban's daughter. He worked for him for 1 week. And then the verse continues, the very same verse says, and when the 7 years were finished. And so in that verse, you find out that a week can be a period of 7 years. And when you come to Daniel's prophecy, he says there'll be 70 weeks of 7 years that are determined upon the nation of Israel. 70 weeks of 7 years. And you multiply 70 times 7 and you come up with 490 years that God said that he would bring in everlasting righteousness to the nation of Israel, put away their sin, and anoint Jesus Christ as king of the nation of Israel. The time of Bible prophecy from the time frame that's going to be given to Daniel is going to be 490 years until God seals up the vision and prophecy. He's all done dealing with the nation of Israel. He brings in lasting righteousness. Now, when does this 490 years begin? Well, we continue reading Daniel chapter 9. In verse 25 it says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the walls even in troublous times." And so he says from the time that there's a commandment to start building Jerusalem all over again, which took place in the end of your Old Testament, until the time of Messiah the Prince, till Jesus Christ comes and demonstrates that he is Israel's prince, the one who is to be anointed king, the one who's supposed to be crowned king. From the time that they begin to build the walls of Jerusalem until Jesus Christ presents himself as the Prince of Israel, Messiah the Prince, is going to be a period that's called 7 weeks. So that's 7 times 7 is 49 years, and 62 weeks. That's 62 weeks, or 62 times 7, which is 434 years. And if you say and, you add them together, and what that is a total of 69 weeks. 7 weeks and 62 weeks is 69 weeks, and that is 483 years. So from the time that they begin to restore Jerusalem after this time of judgment in the Old Testament, till Jesus Christ shows up as Messiah the Prince will be 483 years. It says in verse 26 of Daniel chapter 9, and after 62 weeks, so after this 69 weeks are over, after the 7 weeks and after the 62 weeks are over, it says the Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. So it's going to come after a time that the Messiah shows up after 483 years, they're going to end up cutting off their Messiah. And he's going to die. He's going to be cut off from the nation of Israel, cut off from the living. Speaks about death. But he's not going to do it for himself. And then after that, some people are going to come in and bring destruction, and the rest of the chapter is going to talk about the destruction that's going to follow the death of Christ. Now, how do we know we're on the right Bible timetable? Well, you can write me, and I'll send you an article where it takes these 69 weeks and shows you and demonstrates when Jerusalem began to build the walls of the city again, and then also when the Messiah showed up and presented himself as prince. And that, by the way, is 1 week before Jesus Christ died on the cross. On Palm Sunday, when Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem on the donkey, he was presenting himself according to the prophet Zechariah. He was demonstrating that he was Messiah the Prince to be crowned King of Israel. And that is exactly, just like Daniel said, that's exactly 483 years from the time that the walls were built, began to be built around Jerusalem. And that's an amazing prophecy that already was fulfilled. So we know the timing there. 483 years was fulfilled, and after 483 years, Messiah was cut off, and that's exactly what Israel did. They crucified their Messiah. And Jesus Christ died, but he didn't just die because they didn't accept him as king. He died for them. He wasn't cut off for himself. He died that he might shed his blood as the New Testament of Israel's new covenant. His blood was the blood of the new covenant that he was going to provide for the nation of Israel so that he could forgive their sins, bring in everlasting righteousness, fulfill the prophecies and sum up the prophecies and be anointed king. It was after the sufferings of Christ that he would rise, ascend back into heaven, and then come back and be crowned the king of Israel. But in between the 483 years and the last 7 years, the 70th week, there's been 69 weeks fulfilled of Israel's prophecy. There's one more period of time, one more week left, and some things are going to happen in that week before God brings an end of things. And you read about that in Daniel chapter 9 in verse 27. It says, and he, speaking about the people of the prince that's going to come and destroy the city of Jerusalem after the Messiah is cut off, it says concerning that man, it says, and he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. A covenant is a promise. And he's going to sign and confirm that he is going to offer to the nation of Israel peace. That there's going to be peace in the Middle East because this other prince, not Messiah the prince, but another prince that's going to come along, he's going to offer to the nation of Israel a covenant of peace. And it says, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That's the 70th week of Daniel. That's the last 7 years when God is going to deal with the nation of Israel. And here, that's what begins that last 7 years, is when he confirms a covenant with the nation of Israel for one week, for a period of 7 years. And it says, and he shall call, and well, let me read the verse right. Verse 27 says, and he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, right in the center of the 7 years, he promised that there'd be peace for 7 years. But in the midst of that, 3.5 years into it, it says, in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate. That is, he's going to stop all the sacrificing that's going on in Jerusalem. That is, they're offering sacrifices to God. And because Israel never realized that Jesus Christ was the final sacrifice for sin, they're going to go back and build their temple and sacrifice animals again. But in the middle of that, he's going to cause it to cease, and he's going to set up an abomination. Something that's an abomination to God, and a thing that's an abomination to God is idol worship, or worshiping an image. And because of that, it says that he's going to set up the abomination, he shall make it desolate, and that is the temple, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. And what's going to be poured out is God's wrath, God's judgment. This last 7 years, they're going to sign a treaty with a man rather than realizing Jesus Christ was their Prince of Peace. In the middle of that 7 years, he's going to break that covenant, and then he is going to end the Jewish sacrifices and destroy the temple and cause people to worship him, as we read in the New Testament what he plans to do, and I hope to show you that. But I wanted to show you that he's going to, in the midst of the week, the last 7 years, is going to end the peace that he offered. It only lasted 3.5 years, and it really never lasted even that time. If you look at Daniel chapter 11, it talks about this person and how he's going to achieve the power and what he is going to do. And I want you to see it centers around him offering peace to the nation of Israel. It says, and in his estate, that is, after there's so many different kings and rulers that are going to be coming on the scene, in his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom. But he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. So the way that this Antichrist, this vile person, is going to start taking control, he's a man who talks peace. And he flatters people with words and offers them everything that they ever wanted. He said, and with the arms of a flood they shall be overflown, and before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. Here's that man, that prince that's going to sign a treaty with the nation of Israel. And it says, and after the league made with them, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people, and he shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the providence. And he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and the spoil and riches. Yea, he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds, even for a time. And so this man is going to come along and he's going to speak peaceably, and then he's going to get in and just overwhelm the people and then take power, and then he's going to do things that no one's ever done before. He's going to scatter the wealth. He's going to make people happy by giving them riches, and they're really going to love this man. He's everything we ever wanted. Here's a guy offering us peace and even economic prosperity. But the Bible said he's working deceitfully. It's a talk of peace. He's a vile person, and he's not really offering peace. These are the things that's going to take place in the last 7 years when God deals with the nation of Israel. And in case you don't know about it, you can go to the book of Revelation and read the same things that these are talking about. Revelation, I'm going to read to you just quickly from Revelation chapter 11, and you'll realize that when you read the book of Revelation, you're dealing with a 7-year period of time. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 1 says, and I'm not going to explain all the details here, I just want to give you the timing. It says, "And there was given unto him a reed," and this is an angelic vision that John is seeing, "like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Arise, and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court, which is without the temple, leave out, and measure it not, for it is given to the Gentiles, and the holy city shall be trodden under foot 42 months. Now, how long is 42 months? Well, that's 3.5 years. 3.5 years, Jerusalem is going to be overrun with Gentiles coming through and destroying their temple. Now, you read about this in Revelation chapter 12, the woman here, and which is symbolic of the nation of Israel, when this happens, they're going to have to flee. They're going to have to leave their temple, flee out of the city. And it says here that the woman shall flee into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that he should feed her there 1,260 days. 1,260 days. And by the way, when you're in Bible prophecy, a year is not 365 days, but exactly 360 days, all the way through your Bible. And I can demonstrate that another time, or if you write and ask for that paper. But if that's 1,260 days, and there's 360 days in a year, you divide that out, and it comes out exactly 3.5 years, where the believing remnant who believe on Jesus Christ and are not going to believe the peace of this Antichrist are going to have to flee in the wilderness and be saved and preserved by God for 1,260 days, 3.5 years. Why? The first 3.5 years they didn't have to flee. But he broke his covenant in the middle of the 7 years, and for the last 3.5 years they had to flee out. Now that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ taught himself concerning Bible prophecy in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And in Matthew chapter 24, it says that the disciples came to Jesus and they were showing him the temple, and what they were doing, they're bragging. Look at the wonderful temple that we have here. Well, the Lord knew he was going to die, and the way that people were going to come for salvation is through him. He wasn't going to be cut off for himself, he was going to be cut off for them. His blood was going to be the blood that they're going to have to receive for the forgiveness of sins. And so their eyes had to get off the temple, and he begins to tell them, and he says in Matthew 24 and verse 2, "And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And so they begin to ask him, when are these things going to be? They ask him, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And he began to give them some signs about how there's going to be offers of peace, but there'll really be wars and rumors of wars. But he also said this in verse 15, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand, let him that is in Jerusalem flee unto the mountains." He said, there's going to be some things that are going to happen, but when you see what Daniel talked about, the breaking of the treaty of peace in the middle of the tribulation, in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel, when you see that take place, then you better get out of Jerusalem, because the temple is going to be destroyed, and he's going to come through with an overflowing flood, and he's going to take control, but the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are going to have to escape, and they're going to have to flee in the mountains, and that's what he's telling them to do. See, all of this matches, and all of it centers around the fact that there was 3.5 years of prophecy, or 7 years of prophecy, that's still left for God to deal with the nation of Israel, and interestingly enough, it centers around the offer of peace. I want you to see a chart that I have over here. And in this chart, this is what Bible prophecy is all about. We have the time where Jesus Christ was cut off for the nation of Israel. And then there's going to be after that he sent the Holy Spirit. He continued to call out the nation of Israel, but he kept warning about a time of wrath that was going to come. And all this time of wrath begins with a covenant of signing a treaty. And then it's going to last for 7 years. And at the end of 7 years, Jesus Christ is going to come back and bring real peace to this earth, not the false peace. And I've taught you all of that. And I've taught you that for this reason. You need to ask yourself the question, well, if Christ was going to be cut off after 69 weeks, after 483 years, and then there's going to be just 7 years left, how come Jesus Christ didn't come back a long time ago? Well, where's all this time since the day that Christ died, rose again, gave another offer, a short period of time, an offer to the nation of Israel to now believe on him after he died for them? How come Christ didn't come a long time ago? Well, something you need to realize is a new age began, and this is the age in which we live in today. We live in the dispensation of the grace of God, where the Apostle Paul says, today is the day of salvation. This is the day of the long-suffering of God, in which God postponed the tribulation, postponed the covenants that were, the prophecies that were going to be fulfilled to the nation of Israel, because God in this age wants us to look back to the cross of Christ rather than look forward to prophecy. Look back to the cross of Christ and realize that the cross of Christ is the answer to our sins. And he postponed the days of prophecy and the days of tribulation and the days of wrath so that in this day of grace, you might realize that there's salvation in Jesus Christ. And while the world today wants to look at prophecy and wants to look at events and begin to set timetables, we're not on the prophetic timetable today. We're in the day of God's grace, where God is holding things back, long-suffering with man. And Peter tells us that we're to account that this day that we live in today is a day of salvation. God's not so much worried about what you think about what's going to happen in the future. God wants you to think back what he did for you at the cross in supplying for you a salvation that's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to look to Jesus Christ for your salvation today and trust the fact that his blood is the full complete payment for your sins. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
We hope this program has been an eye-opener to you. We are not out to destroy anyone's faith, but to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 313-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 313-778-5032. This program was presented freely to you in cooperation with this local public cable station. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe.